Gray's Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And we're going to be discussing what's going on in the world from Joel's point of view, which is usually unique and usually absolutely correct. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, the media in America is controlled tightly by six major corporations. That's ABC, Time Warner, that's certainly Bertelsmann, Viacom, the controls of the CBS, Disney, the controls ABC, Comcast and Murdoch, they control the London Times, the Wall Street Journal. You think that they control Fox. You think you're getting both sides? You're not. You're getting what they want you to hear. They all tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. And that's why you need alternative sources of information, and that's why I hope many of you listen to Radio Liberty, not only our morning program, but our afternoon and evening programs as well. That's 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We try to bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, the information you're not going to get by the controlled media. Andrew Skousen, pick up the story. What are the major stories this week?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. In fact, thank you for everything you do. The big story this week is about the Israeli-Gaza conflict. Joel says the futility of the Israeli-Gaza conflict. He says, I've waited for a week or so to comment on the latest and inevitable Israeli-Arab conflict, to see if anything different was going to happen compared to the last time Israel had to go after Hamas for firing rockets into Israel. Apparently, it's going to be more of the same. A truce brokered by Egypt, the hypocrite, and Israel always stopping short of actually rooting out Hamas and all its armaments. There are many complexities to explain this week, but the bottom line is that for the good of both Palestinian and Israeli civilians, Hamas has to be destroyed and Gaza has to be reoccupied. Not because Israel's globalist puppet government is good or benevolent, but simply because of the few alternatives available, that's the only option that historically has given the innocent on both sides the chance to work and live normal lives without constant violence. It's not real independence for the Palestinians, but as long as they have no power to elect peaceful leaders, that's the best thing they are going to get. For all the pro-Palestinian sympathizers out there, imbued with rosy-eyed ideals about democracy, let me explain the realities of living in Gaza. Gaza is an armed camp, except that any peaceful Palestinian is not allowed to have a weapon, only the radical. So there's a lot of fear in Gaza about what Hamas might do to you if you don't support them. This is not democracy, but majority rule at the point of a gun. There are a lot of older Gazans who are convinced life would be better without Hamas. They remember the quote-unquote better days under Israeli occupation when they had to endure military checkpoints searching for suicide bombers or weapons, but they could actually go to work each day and prosper. Now it's all about hate, and that's never going to change until you root out the hate mongers who control not only the arms, but the education system and the media in Gaza. Gaza will always be subject to radical leaders because each successive generation continually indoctrinated with hate toward Israel. Certainly there are plenty of mistakes on the Israeli side to feed this propaganda, but the barrage of indoctrination Arab children in Gaza are subjected to daily guarantees that they will never grow up thinking about anything other than revenge. That's why radicals like Hamas get democratically elected and why democracy won't provide a solution. In short, you can't get to rational democratic choices without first eliminating the aspect of force that dominates Gaza's electoral choices. And the armed Palestinian Authority is only a shade better than Hamas. Both sides use intimidation, and the only way to eliminate that is to reoccupy Gaza and disarm it. I don't believe in disarmament of citizens, but you have to start by rooting out the criminal and terrorist elements and then arm only the good civilians so they can't be intimidated again. There are mid-level Israeli military leaders that understand the need to go back in and reoccupy Gaza, difficult as that may be. It's an armed camp, so it would result in horrific house-to-house fighting. But that's the only way Israel is going to get at the rocket smuggling tunnels and the rocket factories inside Gaza. Barry Chamish, my top source on Israel, had this cogent comment on the two different ways to conquer Gaza. He says, quote, Israel called up 40,000 reservists who are now threatening a ground invasion of Gaza. But Gaza is a death trap for Israel's soldiers, as they found out a few years back when they mounted a failed deadly incursion. There is no reason to endanger our young men when Gaza can be starved into submission, end quote. Joel says, while a full siege of Gaza may well finally bring it into submission, starvation of all the women and children in Gaza would be a public relations nightmare for Israel, not to mention a humanitarian one. And Hamas is just ruthless enough to keep people from giving into the siege at gunpoint, just to make it worse so that international pressure demands Israel end the siege. A better way is a partial cutoff, gas and electricity. Netanyahu says he has suggested this, but the quote-unquote lawyers won't let him. Danny Dannon writes, quote, Prime Minister Netanyahu said that the lawyers won't let him shut off Gaza's water and electricity, and these lawyers think killing 200 Arabs in a week of bombing is more humane than cutting off power and water? As the rocket war expanded, what did wacky Israel do? It supplied the goods needed to keep the war moving forward, end quote. Joel says, I'm not buying the fact that Israel's lawyers could prohibit cutting off the gas and electricity if the prime minister really pushed it as the most humane way to bring Hamas to bear. Of course, the international community would still scream bloody murder at any inconvenience to the civilians caught in the middle of this war. Naturally, Hamas now wants a truce, even though they won't say so. They know it's inevitable anyway. They need it desperately in order to rebuild their rocket arsenal, and that's why there should be no truce. But they'll get one, because Netanyahu is a globalist and not really interested in peace. I'll get to the globalist agenda for Israel a bit later. It used to be, before the globalists captured the Israeli government, after Menachem Begin, that the globalists in control of the U.S. presidency would have to lean hard, or in control of the U.S. president, would have to lean hard on Israel every time it started to conquer the Arabs to back off and quit short of victory. After Begin, Israel's own globalist leaders would sue for quote-unquote peace short of victory on their own, knowing what the game plan was. Each conflict, or antifada, uprising, starts with some minor provocation, and Hamas starts firing rockets. Israel then retaliates with overwhelming air power, which always causes civilian death. The controlled press then plays up the deaths until there is an international outcry for a ceasefire. They usually allow Egypt to play the role of the quote-unquote good guy in brokering the truth.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with time to count.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel.
Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The conflict between Israel and Hamas and Israel and Gaza, and the fact that certainly the easiest thing to do would simply be to cut off their access to electricity and to gasoline. But of course, Netanyahu says, well, the lawyers won't let him do it. So it's far better off, from that point of view, just to slaughter all the Palestinians. Ladies and gentlemen, all of these conflicts are as phony as a $3 bill. Remember Vietnam. For 8 years, why we fought the South Vietnamese. All the time we were financing the Russians, we were financing the North Vietnamese, we were financing the Viet Cong, we're killing our boys. We could have ended the war in 6 weeks anytime. I was personally told that by General Lew Wald and by Ambassador Dodd. American ambassador to Calais at the time. But we never tried to stop the war. We wanted a war so we could bring in the Great Society and socialize America. And of course, what's going on over in Italy and Gaza today is another example of a manipulated war. And until you understand that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. And there are forces working behind the scenes that control both sides in most of the conflicts, why nothing makes sense. Andrew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, in the typical cycle, the controlled press plays up the death in Gaza until there is an international outcry for a ceasefire, which is what we've just seen. Then they usually allow Egypt to play the role of the quote-unquote good guy in brokering the truth. Israel then claims to reluctantly accept. And Hamas uses the intervening years of relative peace to rebuild, and it starts all over again, the eternal cycle of war in Palestine. Let's face it, Hamas is never going to win and conquer Israel. They're in this because war and control of their fellow Arabs is a way of life for them. They live and breathe hate for Israel, and life under Hamas is not free even for the Palestinians. Whenever Israel yields on any of their demands, Hamas only uses the increased autonomy to increase its military grip on Gaza. Whenever Israel trades 1,000 Palestinian prisoners for one kidnapped soldier, it never results in peace. Israel never used to trade prisoners for hostages under Begin, but they do so continually now under globalist leaders. And Egypt is complicit in all this, allowing much of the arms and rocket smuggling that gets into Gaza. That's why I call them hypocrites in brokering each and every truce. Of course, it's the globalist international community that always allows Egypt to play this good guy role without criticism. So that's got to be part of the globalist agenda, too. And we're not talking about letting a few rifles through the border. Rather, it's tons of explosives, arms, ammunition, rocket motors, electronic controls, etc. Everything Hamas gets comes through Egypt, and a lot of that originates in Iran. A little bit gets through Israel's naval blockade on the Mediterranean coast, but nothing compared to the huge tunnels going under the Egyptian border to Gaza. If Egypt were serious about stopping the rocket traffic into Gaza, they would blockade their side of the border, and not by simply doing a token border closure, but by rooting out the tunnel entrances inside large warehouses that permit Hamas to go under the closed border. The globalist agenda in Israel. Typical of everything the globalists do, they always create conflict in order to get change. And ultimately, they are looking for global control of every nation. The reason they never used to allow Israel to finish off the Arab military forces is that they wanted to preserve Arab forces for future conflicts that would give the globalists a chance to occupy Palestine in the name of peacekeeping, give the Vatican control over the quote-unquote holy sites in Jerusalem, and establish a globalist form of peace, meaning control of Israel. In recent decades, nothing even gets close to a major war, since the Arabs have lost so many times before. But every moderate conflict ends in a truce short of eradicating the problem, whether it is Hezbollah in Lebanon or Hamas in Gaza. This past week, one of the globalist shining lights projected just the kind of agenda I have predicted, a partial occupation of Palestine in the name of peace. In a CNN common piece, Michael Oren, a member of the Globalist Atlantic Council, and formerly Israel's ambassador to the United States, said this, quote, "Now the Israeli army is poised to enter Gaza and uproot Hamas by force. Destruction is expected to be at least as extensive as in the previous rounds of fighting between Hamas and Israel. Thousands are liable to be displaced. Civilian casualties will mount. Still, with nearly its entire population under rocket fire, Israel will have no choice but to invade." Joel says, "The globalists don't want Hamas conquered, but Oren is projecting this true need for ulterior reasons. He knows that the battle to occupy Gaza will be so bloody for both sides that it will be the best chance of convincing the world to accept his UN or American intervention." He continues, quote, "The obvious solution is a ceasefire similar to ones mediated by Egypt in 2008 and 2012, and co-sponsored by the United States. Such a ceasefire would end the shooting, but would not hold for long. An unconditional ceasefire would enable Hamas to rearm and reignite the conflict at a time of its choosing." Joel says, "He's absolutely right, but he's going to use this to push for intervention, not a lasting peace that can only come by rooting out Hamas and stopping the hate-mongering propaganda internal to Gaza. Then he excuses Egypt as a legitimate peace partner. Again, rightly so, but for the wrong reason." Quote, "Egypt, moreover, is now focused on its domestic challenges and reluctant to become embroiled in regional conflicts. And American foreign policy has been weakened by its failure in the peace process and its resistance to intervening in the Syrian and Iraqi civil wars. Worsening matters, the Egyptian government of General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has had a strained relationship with the U.S. government that frowned on his undemocratic rise to power." Joel inserts, "Not really true. The globalists finally have someone in Egypt who they control." Continue the quote. "American and Canadian-trained police officers loyal to the West Bank Palestinian Authority can be stationed at the border crossings from Israel into Gaza. Similarly, these security personnel can be deployed at the Gaza border crossings that Egypt formerly closed but would now reopen." End quote. So this is Oren's mild opening to UN occupation, using American soldiers as the most acceptable peacekeepers for Israel. He's currently not suggesting a full occupation of Gaza, because he knows that won't be accepted by Hamas, and without actually removing Hamas, none of the rest of what he says will work. He goes on, quote, "American inspectors can locate Hamas's rocket stockpiles and ship them abroad for destruction. At the same time, the people of Gaza would receive the international aid needed to repair the war damage and energize their economy, which has been failing for years." Joel inserts, "Gaza is an international welfare child that can't exist without billions in constant aid, since without peace, the Palestinians can't work in Israel where all the jobs are." Continuing the quote. "Finally, once the rockets are eliminated, Israel can ease the maritime blockade of Gaza. Palestinians will be spared further hardship and Hamas deprived of one of its chief pretexts for attacking Israel." End quote. Joel says he, like all globalists, continues to push the view that the Palestinian Authority are the moderates, the quote-unquote good guys who will go along with peace. But this isn't really true. The Palestinian Authority is the follow-on organization of Yasser Arafat's PLO terrorist group, and are simply playing the role as good cop versus the bad cop, Hamas. Furthermore, it's not the border crossing where the smuggling problem is, but in the tunnels under the border. Continuing the quote, ideally, the Palestinian Authority would replace Hamas rule over Gaza. It is doubtful whether that goal would be achieved swiftly and without prolonged violence. Yet a new status quo can be created that is more stable and less prone to breakdown. Effectively demilitarized, with a stimulated economy and an expanded role for Palestinians committed to the peace process, Gaza can cease being the cause of repeated conflict, end quote. Joel says, well, that's very wishful thinking, and no realist in the Israeli military agrees. The Palestinian Authority would never be able to undo Hamas's intimidation in a Gaza election unless Hamas was first militarily destroyed by the Israeli IDF. So, if anything, Oren is suggesting something, American border peacekeepers, that might be a foot-in-the-door approach. It won't work, but the follow-on violence that comes could, he hopes, result in a full UN peacekeeping operation. And that's the way globalists think long-term. So this week there was a unilateral ceasefire by Israel, brokered by Egypt. Hamas didn't even bother to give it a chance. They were on a roll and had rockets to fire, so they kept on firing. Haaretz and Israel commented on the Israeli cabinet negotiations. Quote, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, backed by Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon, overcame the opposition of some of the members of the security cabinet, as well as the demands coming from much of the Israeli public, to, quote, hit Hamas harder, and secured a vote in favor of going back to war with Hamas. He then waited for nearly 6 hours and over 40 rockets fired at various parts of Israel before ordering the Air Force to resume offensive operations. Joel inserts, then there was a hint about Israel playing its usual role of boosting Egypt as a broker for peace, always a sign of following the globalist playbook. Quote, besides achieving a ceasefire, Israel had an additional gain it was looking out for. This was the first overt intervention by the new administration in Cairo in the Israel-Palestine conflict. And Jerusalem has a major interest in having President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi as an active participant. After 3.5 years of unclear relations with Egypt, this is the perfect opportunity to restore the back channel with Gaza, which can also serve, when needed, as a lever of pressure on Hamas, end quote. Joel says, but those back-channel talks were always filled with lies and gameplay. Egypt always saying that they were reining in smuggling and doing a few things, but letting the worst stuff through. Then Haaretz had this interesting comment about the Hamas leadership and its faction. Quote, it is unclear who is currently calling the shots in Hamas. The commanders of the political wing in their bunkers under Gaza? The weakened civilian leadership of the movement, which is also underground? Or the nominal bosses abroad in Qatar and Turkey, who are playing a risky political game, anxious to preserve their influence on the ground. In these situations, it is usually the most hardline element, and in this case, those with a direct line to the rocket-launching team, called shots. End quote. Here is how bad things are politically for Hamas. Quote, the frustration within Hamas's upper echelons is evident. 8 days of fighting in which they have used up all their cards, long-range missiles, drones, tunnels, frogmen, have yielded no serious casualties on the Israeli side. The propaganda film showing the drone ostensibly flying over IDF headquarters in Tel Aviv is an obvious and desperate fabrication. The ceasefire proposal gives them no assurances that they will achieve any of their demands. No guaranteed opening of crossings to Egypt or Israel. No transfer of funds for salaries to tens of thousands of civil servants in Gaza. No release of Hamas members arrested last month in the West Bank. All there is a period of indirect talks with Israel and Cairo, and the prospect of having their rival, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, appear as the one securing most of the gains for the people of Gaza. End quote. Joel says, so if ever there was a time to oust Hamas, this is probably as good as it gets. One of the interesting anomalies about this current conflict is that Hezbollah didn't support Hamas with their own rocket barrages from the north, which could have easily reached civilian targets. Why not? Here are Barry Chamish's comments expressing the same consternation. Quote, with both sides angry as hell, Hamas started bombarding Israel with rockets. You talk about an irresponsible Hamas government. They did so without expecting retribution? But I'll bet they didn't expect that all their allies would desert them. On the fifth day of the war, three rockets were shot at northern Israel from Lebanon, most likely by Hezbollah rebels, and they were arrested by the Lebanese. The last time Hezbollah rained missiles on Israel in 2009, practically all the Jews of northern Israel abandoned their homes for 3 weeks. Israel was humiliated. If Hamas, with their 20,000 rockets, was joined by Hezbollah with its 125,000, this would have been a very different war. But no Hezbollah, or Iran, or Assad, or any of its quote-unquote allies helped Hamas in its hour of desperate need. This war was Hamas fighting Israel basically by itself, end quote. Joel says, I can think of a few reasons for this. One, Hamas may well be on the outs with Iran and Hezbollah, and is going to be left undefended. There is always a deep dislike between radical factions, and the more radical they are, like Hamas, the more they get in the way of Iran's attempt to defuse the situation with the U.S. Second, Hezbollah has its hands full trying to save Assad from the globalists. And third, Hezbollah knows that the U.S. and NATO are eventually coming after both Assad and Iran, and they are saving their rockets for the time when they will have them to take on Israel.
Hold the thought, Andrew. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food and wild bird seed, custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. A great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel.
Well, covering what's going on over Gaza, understandably, all of these incidents are staged, and an awful lot of people are going to end up dying. But it's a prelude, I believe, to a much larger war in that region. Now, right now, before we go on, Andrew, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad subscribe to World Affairs Brief and get the book that he has produced, a survey on strategic relocation and building a secure room, the things they're going to need for the difficult period that lies ahead here in America when turmoil and confusion come to America. Andrew, go ahead.
Certainly. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, a good first step is to sign up for the World Affairs Brief. We try to keep up to date on what is happening in the world and try to give people some forecast of when the next big crisis is going to hit us here at home. And they can do that easily by going to worldaffairsbrief.com, our website. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's a big button there to sign up for the brief. We also post news stories on that site that we think will help people with their news browsing. There's a link there to our other website, joelskousen.com. joelskousen.com has a listing and descriptions of all of Joel's work. The most popular and first book to get is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. This lays out all of the threats that we see facing us in the near future and then highlights how they will hit the different areas geographically and thus how to relocate away from high population centers and nuclear targets, etc. Once people have found a more secure place or at least a backup option for a secure place, they should get one of our other two books, The Secure Home, which highlights everything about how to secure a residence and build a shelter and a safe room underneath with an alternate energy system for when power is down for long periods. If people want to do a small-scale renovation themselves, they can get our book, The High Security Shelter. This has plans and details about how to implement a secure room yourself, preferably in a basement location. It also has plans for intermediate projects for people that don't have room for that, such as securing a closet. And all of those books are available, as I said, at joelskousen.com over the internet. But if you'd like to order them by phone, that's available through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Sam?
By calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to get the book and to begin making preparations because we're moving into a very difficult and dangerous time. So right ahead, Andrew.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Well, the next story is a comparison about the Iron Dome, how a real anti-missile system should work. According to strategypage.com, in an article about air defense accounting for Iron Dome, the website offers a detailed glimpse into how you design and build an anti-missile system and use it effectively given limited resources. This system is mobile, not too expensive, and has an effective missile with an explosive warhead. Compare this to the extremely expensive U.S. anti-ballistic missile system that has no warhead and a spotty test record because its kinetic kill vehicle must make actual physical contact with an incoming missile to kill it, which is extremely difficult and foolishly unnecessary if they were instead to use an explosive warhead.
I think this is an important point. The Israeli anti-missile system is better than ours. They have an explosive a warhead. We don't have one on ours. You have to have a direct hit and the impact that brings down the missile. Why have we built a superior anti-missile system for the Israelis and given ourselves an inferior anti-ballistic missile system? But so much of what goes on today just doesn't make sense. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so Israel designed something practical to work. The U.S. funds most of it. The U.S. designed something that is meant not to work, so that when Russia and China throw their expected nuclear first strike at America, we won't be able to defend against it, as I've explained in prior briefs, Joel said. Here are some interesting excerpts from the article. Quote, because of some decisions earlier in the year, Joel inserts, which were to use spare parts and to increase the use of the training batteries, Israel has been able in the last week to increase the number of Iron Dome anti-rocket missile batteries by 43%, from 7 to 10. It all began earlier in 2014 when the U.S. gave Israel $429 million to buy more Iron Dome batteries and a lot more of the Tamir anti-missile missiles the system uses. The U.S. had already contributed nearly $1 billion for Iron Dome development and procurement. This latest effort was also meant to help Israel put 15 Iron Dome batteries into service and build up the stockpile of Tamir missiles. Israel has long wanted 15 batteries of Iron Dome, but that was going to cost more than Israel could afford. Each battery has radar, fire control equipment, and 3 to 4 missile launchers, each with 20 missiles, and costs about $37 to $50 million, depending on how many missiles it is shipped with. The big problem now will be producing enough Tamir missiles to keep the batteries going. If Hamas fires over 5,000 rockets, 4 times what it has already fired, there will not be enough Tamir missiles. So far, Iron Dome has shot down 85% of the rockets it calculated were headed for a populated area. The Tamir missiles used by Iron Dome weigh 90 kilograms and have a range of 70 kilometers against rockets, mortar shells, and artillery shells up to 155 millimeters. Iron Dome can also shoot down aircraft and helicopters up to 10 kilometers or 32,000 feet altitude. Iron Dome is the principal defense against short-range rockets fired from Gaza or Lebanon. Work is underway to increase Iron Dome range from 70 to over 200 kilometers. Hamas has already, in 2012 and 2014, tried to defeat Iron Dome by firing a lot of long-range missiles simultaneously at a few cities. In theory, this could overwhelm 1 or 2 Iron Dome batteries. But Israel is able to keep a 24/7 UAV watch on Gaza and spot attempts at large-scale simultaneous launchers. This enables Israel to bomb or shell many of the launch sites before they launch. This results in many rockets destroyed on the ground or launching erratically and landing within Gaza or nowhere near where they were aimed. Because Iron Dome can track hundreds of incoming missiles, quickly plot their trajectory and likely landing spot, and ignore the majority that will not land near people, Hamas needs to put hundreds of larger long-range missiles into the air at the same time to be sure of causing loss of Israeli casualties. So far, Hamas has not been able to get enough rockets into the air at the same time to make it work. They may never get this to work because they have to hide preparations for the simultaneous launch of many rockets, and this is very difficult to do undetected. If the computers predict a rocket coming down in an inhabited area, 1, or often 2 to be sure, $50,000 Tamir guided missiles are fired to intercept the rocket. This makes the system cost-effective, Joel answered. In contrast, the U.S. anti-ballistic missile system only has some 30-plus interceptors total, and they cost millions each. Of course, the U.S. is designing their anti-missiles mostly for ICBMs, which are at longer distances. Well, not a variety of smaller missiles.
Hold on, folks.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squarerootconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Hello, Jeff, back here at the American Food Network. I said, morning, Andrew Skousen. Andrew, pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. But continuing the quote about the Iron Dome system, Iron Dome remains a mix of battlefield success and controversy. For example, the Israeli military has had to keep repeating public reminders that Iron Dome was not meant primarily for defending towns and villages, but military bases and critical infrastructure, power and water. Each battery can defend about 150 square kilometers, and Israel has 22,000 square kilometers. Only about 10% of this is occupied by residential areas, but you get the idea. This reminder was repeated after Iron Dome successfully defeated a Hamas attack using 1,500 rockets against populated areas in late 2012. Many Israelis assumed this meant they could expect similar protection if there were a larger attack from Hamas or Hezbollah. But the military points out that Hamas has over 5,000 rockets and Hezbollah over 40,000. If one or both of these groups fired several thousand rockets, including longer range over 20 kilometers, one, the Iron Dome batteries would have to be used to defend military bases and power plants first, otherwise defense of the nation would be imperiled, before trying to cover civilian targets, end quote. Joel says, the Iron Dome system isn't very effective at countering short-range rockets, since it takes at least 15 seconds to get a firing solution. But it is effective at the longer-range rockets, which are larger and carry a larger warhead. In 2012, when Hezbollah launched a lot of long-range rockets at Tel Aviv, Iron Dome was effective, but Iron Dome did not protect against the volleys of hundreds of small rockets launched from Gaza and Lebanon. Fortunately, the smaller rockets do far less damage and are only lethal in a direct hit. Next story is about Russian surface-to-air missiles down airliner. Another tragedy for Malaysian Airlines occurred yesterday when a 777 airliner was shot down over eastern Ukraine on Thursday. As the press reported, quote, a civilian airliner traveling from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur has just been shot down by a BUK, a Buk anti-aircraft system, Anton Gerashchenko of the Ukrainian Interior Ministry told Reuters. The Associated Press reported seeing similar launcher near the eastern Ukrainian town of Snizhny. The Buk missile system can reportedly fire missiles up to an altitude of 72,000 feet. The incident follows a separatist claim they hit two Sukhoi 25 jets on Wednesday. The Ukrainian Defense Ministry said the second jet was hit by a portable surface-to-air missile. Joel says, because so many conspiracy theories were created surrounding the disappearance of Malaysian Flight 370 of the same country, all the same amateur conspiracy guys were out in force within hours making some of the same mistakes they made before. One was that Putin's presidential plane was flying over at the same time and that the Kiev government had tried to shoot him down, but mistakenly got Malaysian 17. But according to the Russian service at Russia Today, this was not true. Quote, as a source told Gazeta.ru online news portal, Putin has only one jet, board one. He does not fly other planes. This plane always takes off from Vnukovo 3, the business airport near Moscow. But the presidential plane has not been flying over Ukraine for a while. The source at Vnukovo 3 terminal said, he never flies over conflict-torn neighbors, end quote. Then there was the story of the Spanish dispatcher conspiracy claim on a Russian language site. It said the Spanish speaker was working in the control tower at Kiev when the Boeing 777 disappeared from radar, and that he left a message on his Twitter account saying, before they take away our phones or crack my head open, he was shot down by the Kiev. He left about 10 messages stating that the two Ukrainian jet fighters followed the plane until it hit the ground, end quote. Joel says, I looked at the site and can find no evidence that confirmed their claim that he worked in the Kiev tower. And there is no reason that a Spanish-speaking dispatcher would be there anyway. Additionally, the screenshot of his Twitter post in Spanish, which I can read, clearly didn't show anything about Ukrainian jet fighters following the plane. This was disinformation. Flight watchers of the airline tracking site canceled, not realizing that of the three choices that exist for each flight, canceled is the only thing approaching crashed, a label that doesn't exist for that system. There were others jumping to conclusions about pictures of nearly new passports of the victims being laid out on the ground, assuming that such pristine passports couldn't have come from the burning wreckage. This suspicion is rightly triggered by government claims to have recovered pristine condition passports of the presumed hijackers in 9/11 in the rubble of the World Trade Center, a virtual impossibility after having gone through a fiery crash and the collapse of the towers. They were obviously planted by government agents. But in this case, the debris field was 5 kilometers wide, and whole parts of the fuselage with passengers in their seats crashed some distance away without burning. Passports in purses or even coat pockets could easily have come out unscathed. Dozens of persons adding comments to news sites showed pictures of the Ukraine debris field, commented on how this contrasted dramatically with Flight 93's almost non-existent debris field of 9/11 fame. The best evidence now indicates that Flight 93 landed at Cleveland and was seen parked at the NASA facility there. The FAA ordered a United flight to land at Cleveland so that the airliner could provide a cover story for those witnesses who insist that Flight 93 landed there. What happened to the passengers of Flight 93? No one outside of government black ops knows. Both of these governments have the Buk surface-to-air missile system, capable of bringing down high-altitude airliners. But the Ukrainian army doesn't use anti-air defenses in this region, since separatist rebels have no planes. In contrast, the pro-Russian separatists have shot down other large Ukrainian transport and fighter aircraft, including just this week, and look like they were seeking other aircraft to shoot down. An LA Times article said, quote, "The downing of the Ukrainian planes Thursday followed a similar episode and similar charge by Kiev when a Ukrainian AN-26 military transport was shot down Monday in the Luhansk region. The plane was hit by a Russian missile. Ukraine Secretary of Service Chief Valentin Nalivayevchenko said in a televised remark this week, 'The investigation is over,' Nalivayevchenko said. 'We have irrefutable proof, which will be first reported to the president and then published,' end quote." The Buk system, also called the SA-17 Grizzly by NATO, is not a shoulder-fired missile, but a large track-mounted system with radar and a huge bank of interceptor missiles. We have a link in the brief to see for yourself that separatists don't simply get these units by smuggling them across the border in the trunk of a car. They had to come from Russia. So what happened?
We're out of time. Just after 1,000.
Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Griffith Auto Electric salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's remember them during these trying times. Their efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Griffith Auto Electric at 108 Sugar Mill Road in Sterling, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. They're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. Call 970-522-0160. That's 970-522-0160.
Did you see the size of that commission?
That certainly was a large commission.
Where's the gold?
It's a very, very big commission. Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer, you get a lot less gold, and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
We hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and we are moving into a period of increasing turmoil and contention. There's going to be more violence. Most Americans simply want to live and be free and just not have to worry about this sort of thing. Unfortunately, that is not the case, because there's a small group that controls both political parties here, and certainly they control our banking system, they control our media, they control our major corporations, they control our educational system, they control what the American people think and believe, and they are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. That's what it's really all about, and there is not probably 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 Americans who really understand what's happening. Are they going to manipulate us into a financial catastrophe? They're going to manipulate us into a war, and I fear it's going to be a nuclear war, and I fear that millions of people are going to die, not only in other countries, but right here in the United States. And you better begin to understand what's going on. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and certainly you can listen to our programs. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and there you can actually listen to these the 4 other programs. We do the program here on the American Freedom Network every morning. We do programs certainly on the other stations, certainly on a regular basis. 5 hours a day, we do need your financial support to maintain our network. And, of course, our information is different because we point out the fact that behind this move towards the one-world government, the one-world financial system, and the destruction of Christianity, and that's the 3 legs of what's going on, are the powerful spiritual forces. There always have been. They've been here. We live not simply in a material world. We live in a supernatural world. There is a God, and there are certainly demonic forces, and there is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and the survival of civilization. And the average American really doesn't understand that because of the degree of control over the media and because they've infiltrated our religious seminaries, they've infiltrated our religious schools, and either ministers are afraid to speak out or don't know, and I suspect the majority of them really don't understand what's going on from a spiritual point of view. They understand what's going on. Certainly they preach the Bible, they preach the scripture, they preach God's love, but of course God is involved in this movement, and certainly this is an eternal battle between good and evil, and of course the forces of darkness have always wanted to create a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion. And that's why they took God and prayer, the 10th commandments, out of our schools. That's why our schools are used today to destroy the faith of our children, our grandchildren, in God. And why, if you talk to the young people coming out of school today, the vast majority of them have an intense hatred for traditional religion. They have an intense hatred for America. They're globalists. We need to take America back, and we need your help to do it. We're a small voice, but we are a voice, and we're working. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927.